Good morning again, and welcome back to the Victoria Steele Show. I'm your host, Victoria, and as always, we have the delightful John Davidson on the other side of the glass running things on the technical side. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
It's been quite a week. I don't know about you, but it has been one heck of a week in the state legislature. Holy moly. I've been up in Phoenix all week, and at the state capitol, there is never a dull moment. And unfortunately, some of these moments that we're going to be talking about today are just really awful. So, with that, I want to take a time out to thank my sponsors, the Glue Factory, Dwight over there, and the folks. I just love them. They are such a community-minded group. Also, Mesquite Interiors, Rudy and the folks over there, Mesquite Interiors, make an appointment with them. Go in and see their work. It's absolutely exquisite. It's gorgeous. And Stephen Portell with the Stephen Portell Law Firm. And hey, Steve, I know he listens unless he and his lovely wife are out camping or riding their motorcycles. And I don't know, maybe he listens when he rides his motorcycles. However, I have a couple of delightful friends this morning who are joining me from the state legislature. So let's find out if they're there. Senator Martin Quezada, are you there?
I am here, Senator Steele. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And Martin, where are you calling from? Because you're out of town today.
I am out of town. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
All right.
Doing some work with school boards here.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, I can't wait to... You come back with all sorts of enlightenment. So when we go to those conferences, we usually come back with lots of great ideas. Okay. Also joining us is State Representative Athena Salmon. Are you there, Athena?
Hi, good morning. Yes, good. Thank you so much for having me on the show this morning.
No problem. I'm so glad that you both could join me today, and we've got lots to talk about. Now, Senator Quezada, where are you, what area do you represent in the state Senate?
So I represent Legislative District 29, and that is in Maricopa County. I cover parts of West Phoenix and Maryvale and all of South and West Glendale.
Okay. All right. And Athena, where, what is your district?
My district is District 26, which encompasses North Tempe, West Mesa, South Phoenix, and the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian community.
Wow. We are covering a lot of the state with just the three of us here, aren't we? Okay, so today, unfortunately, we've got some yucky stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about some shocking revelations on former Representative David Stringer ethics investigation. And we're also going to be talking about voter suppression bills that are making their way through the House, and they're just really ugly. All right, so let's start with the worst first and get that out of the way, because this is just, yesterday about 3 o'clock, we discovered that Representative David Stringer, who resigned last Wednesday, late Wednesday afternoon, suddenly, he was in the middle of an ethics investigation. He was, we were trying to convince him to reveal or turn over documents about something that he had done in a state that he used to live in that was possibly pretty bad. And he was withholding that information. His lawyer was stalling everybody, and he was not giving up that information. Then he had a deadline of, I think, 4 o'clock on this last Wednesday that he was supposed to say what, you know, whether or not he was going to either resign or give us that information. But yesterday it was made public that he resigned. Let's just cut to the chase. He resigned rather than reveal what was in that police report. So the investigation, however, thanks to some intrepid reporters, continued. And so yesterday we learned that, we started seeing text tweets that said, this Republican reaction to sex charges just a few months ago. These latest reports on David Stringer from the police reports are disgusting and deeply disturbing. So it turns out that he was arrested in 1983 for allegedly paying two boys to have sex with him. And let me just say, he did not have sex with boys. He raped them. Children under age 15 are not in a state where he can have where they can give consent. So when that happens, that is rape. Now, one of those boys that says in this police report that he, you know, did these things to him had a developmental disability. So there's the news. What do you guys think? Pretty disgusting.
Yeah, well, Senator Steele, I'll jump in quickly here, but I'm very glad that you clarified that this is rape. It is absolutely a rape that took place with these two boys. It's a shocking situation, and I'm glad that we're finally kind of rid of this type of poison that was in the legislature. I just wish it would have happened a lot sooner, because let's not forget, in addition to these rapes that he committed against young boys, He was putting out some very disturbing racist comments.
Yes, he was.
Repeatedly over the last year. So there was a lot of reasons to get rid of this guy, and I'm finally glad that he's actually gone.
And you know, and this morning I saw a tweet from Kathy Herod with the Center for Arizona Policy. You know, they had endorsed him fully, given them their full endorsement. And he got elected even after his racist comments had been very widely expressed in the news. And he still got elected. And then the Kathy Herod and their group still endorsed him. And now they're saying, well, you know, we had no idea, so of course we're not, you know, we're no longer in favor of him. But, you know, they were okay with the racist stuff, you know, right? Or is this, where do we draw the line? What are you thinking, Senator or Representative Salmon? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, and it's not just the Center for Arizona Policy that endorsed him and supported his reelection efforts after the racist comments came out in June. And you look at his finance report, the Arizona Public Service Company, APS, or utility company, contributed to his campaign. The Arizona Restaurant Association contributed to his campaign. So there were a lot of corporate and conservative sponsors who continued to support him in the result of his first horrific act that the legislature and the community was aware of. One of my concerns, and you know, I want to make sure that folks who are listening, you know, if you have any information, I'm just concerned that when it comes to the rapes in the 1980s and the fact that our justice system didn't hold them accountable way back when, since then, there could be more victims out there, both in Arizona and the other states. And so please, if you're listening, please contact the authorities and come forward, because we need to bring justice forward.
That's right. I need to be very clear. This is something that he had due process. He had his due process on this. It went to, you know, the police report was made. This happened back in Baltimore in 1983. The Arizona Republic reported that Stringer was arrested in 1983 on suspicion of paying two boys under the age of 15 to come to his apartment so he could have sex with them. Let's see, what else? So the thing is, he got off. He got probation. He got told to get counseling. He got off. He just was relieved of, and he came here to Arizona and got accepted into the Arizona State Bar, where he practices law. People who do this usually don't do it just once. And I can say this as a victim of this type of crime in my childhood. The person who did this to me, I lived most of my childhood into my adult years thinking that I was the only one. Found out later, oh my gosh, this person had done this to so many people. I do not believe that these two young boys, well, they were boys in the 80s, that they were his only victims. And I'm with you, Athena. If anybody knows anything, they should come forth. And they shouldn't worry about any statutes of limitations, time-wise. I think that should just be out. How the heck do we prevent this from happening? How do we prevent our state legislators from being elected into the office where we are charged with protecting people from this kind of abuse? How do we prevent them from being elected? What do you guys think? Any thoughts?
I'll
jump in real quick, and then I know Athena has some great info. But I think the important part is that the electorate needs to be aware of this. I mean, people need to start paying more closer attention to who they are electing to public office rather than just voting down party lines simplifying their voting patterns. But I think there's also a responsibility for those elected officials and those organizations like the Center for Arizona Policy and like APS and all the others that contributed to his campaign. You can't just contribute to people's campaigns just because you like the party that they are affiliated with.
That's right.
We need to start electing good people. And if someone's not a good person, regardless of what party they are,
that's right.
There's a responsibility to not contribute to them and not empower them.
That's right, because those are the ones that get them into office. It's that money that they give them. And so if somebody comes out and they start making racist comments, you want to get your money back. You want to be very public. I had no idea. Now that I do, now that I know, I want my endorsement back. I want my money back. And you are not going to represent me. And that needs to be made very clear. Then they don't get elected. So, Athena, what are your thoughts on this in terms of, what can we do? What can be done?
Well, and for the House, for us, it was a matter of once you're elected. I mean, the thing that you see with the 2018 numbers is former Representative Stringer got more votes than his seatmate, and I have to check this. I don't know if he got more votes than the Senate candidate in that race, but for us, and I, Representative Fernandez, the Democratic leader in the House, went and did a joint press conference with the Speaker of the House, Rusty Bowers. And in there, she highlighted the need for the House and possibly the Senate. You just never know to consider and start developing protocols to ensure the safety of the public in the event that there are representatives or senators who have potentially alarming histories that maybe could have come to fruition through other means. Now, I do not know if this could have come to fruition without the reporting of Phoenix New Times, but at the very least, we are looking into what those options are moving forward.
You're right. And I've got a suggestion on what one of those options might be, but we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more on KVOI, The Voice. And we are back with the Victoria Steele Show. And this hour today, we are talking with Senator Martin Quezada from Glendale and Representative Athena Salmon from the Tempe Mesa area. And both are my esteemed colleagues. I was deeply ashamed when this news came out. I was deeply ashamed that he got elected in the first place after the racist comments, and that he got elected so handily that, that we have people in our state that would elect people knowing that they are racist. And then to find the results of this police report revealed yesterday, it's sickening. It is absolutely sickening. It's hard for me to read those remarks and not feel deep anger. One of the things that I want to make sure that I want to figure out how on earth we do this is to figure out how we do not elect people that are really, really bad people. What do you guys think? Senator Quesada and Representative Salmon, what do you think of the idea of having fingerprint background, FBI background checks done on everybody who runs for office?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I think that, you know, serving in the state legislature is not a right, it's a privilege, and ultimately it's a responsibility to the public. So if you're willing to step up to the plate and serve in that role and assume the responsibilities, you should be willing to ensure to the public that you are appropriate to have that role. And if that includes submitting some background checks just to make sure, even if it doesn't disqualify you, but just makes it public so that the public is aware of who they are electing, I'm in favor of that kind of transparency.
So, Senator Salmon, what do you think? Is this an idea that's out of bounds? Do you think it would be helpful?
I know that a lot of ideas are being thrown around in the House right now, and I can say with confidence that all options are on the table. And I don't think it would be too far off, given that we already do financial disclosure reports while we're running for office, and then once we get elected every single year. So, you know, broadening and expanding the organization of information that's available and informing the public more about who their elected officials are. To Senator Quesada's point, that just brings forth more transparency and potential accountability.
I agree. And I want to do a special shout out to all of the reporters who stayed on this, especially the Phoenix New Times reporters. Holy cow, if they had not stuck with this story, if they had not followed their gut feeling of where there is smoke, there's fire, we're going to find out where this started. And they stuck with it. And they didn't take no for an answer when they were pushed back on. They said, nope, we want the story. We want the details. People deserve to know. And it's because we have fine journalists who do this work. And we have some of just amazing individuals in the land of journalism, particularly in Arizona. And I'm so thankful that they did this. I think they're like the fifth arm of our democracy. They're just, and to have people go on and on about fake media, that is just so disgusting. It's a definite effort to get people to not listen to facts. Don't look over here. Nothing to see here, folks. Just ignore this person who's making racist remarks. Nothing to see there. Well, thank goodness the reporters decided, nope, there might be more to this than what we're seeing. And they dug and they dug and they came up with the stories. So my hat is off to, well, I don't wear a hat, but my gratitude to reporters who do the hard work to, you know, just they probably weren't favorite among some people for just digging in, but they didn't care. They got the story, and thank God they did. I'm so glad they did. All right, we're going to move on to another topic. And did either one of you, Athena, did you have more that you wanted to say about this?
The other thing I'll just mention is, you know, seconding what you said about the power of quality reporting and really doing that deep investigative reporting. And then also, I'm still sifting through the details of the report. I think that the Ethics Committee was able to, through the outside legal counsel we hired, was able to compile more information. So I think that's worth highlighting as well, is that process and, you know, giving people an avenue to speak out formally about their previous experiences with the former representative.
I think you're right. And Senator Quesada, anything more from you on this topic before we switch to another topic?
No, just to echo what you said about the media, because our media is going through a change right now because they're losing a lot of support,
yes.
a lot of financial support. But this is a clear reason why we need to have strong investigative journalism in the state of Arizona and in the United States as a whole. So I encourage everyone to support your local investigative journalists, contribute to them and support them, because we need them to help hold us accountable.
And here in Tucson, I suggest strongly that you, if you are not already subscribed to the Arizona Daily Star, that you get online right now, you call them up, you subscribe. There are some great reporters, but they can't get the news to you if they don't have subscribers to, you know, they got to get paid to do this. And we just have excellent reporters, particularly in the Tucson and Phoenix area. So just look back at this past 12 months. We've had Representative Shooter be expelled from the House for sexual harassment issues. We've had one legislator speeding, going, I don't know, 130 miles an hour, and saying when the police stopped him that he had legislative immunity, and sometimes he goes 140 miles an hour. This is nothing. And we had another one just get sentenced to jail for drinking and driving, and now this, and there's more. There's actually more than what I just mentioned. And as amazing as it sounds, I still want to tell you, and I hope that you believe it, we do have good people in our state legislature. This is embarrassing. This is shameful stuff that has happened. And we have to hold everybody to a much higher standard. We need to protect. We need to be better. We need to do better. So, like you said, Athena, all Representative Selman, all options are still on the table. We're going to figure this out, because this is just not acceptable. All right, we're going to take another short break, and we will be back with more of the Victoria Steele Show. You're listening to KVOI, The Voice. And we're back with more of the Victoria Steele Show. You are listening to KVOI, The Voice. And I wanted to mention that in case you don't get to hear this sometime live, you know, at 9 on Saturday mornings on KVOI.com, you can also look for the podcast. I put this on SoundCloud, and then I link to it on Facebook, the Steele Report Facebook page, and on KVOI.com. As well as LinkedIn and Twitter. And also, there is so much going on at the state capitol that we can't possibly cover it all on this 1 hour show every week. So that's why I write the Steele Report newsletter. And if you'd still like to receive that, please give me a call or email me at my legislative address, which is vsteele@azleg.gov. And just simply say, add me to your newsletter list. And we'll send you out that link to get you subscribed without you having to go and search for it. You can search for it, but it's a hassle. All right. So my guests this hour are State Representative Athena Selman. She represents the Tempe Mesa area, and Senator Martin Quezada, who represents the Glendale area. And I say area because it's more than just those areas. Welcome back, guys. So let's switch topics from the Stringer investigation and all the gross things that appeared yesterday. It's just sickening. But let's go to another sickening topic, and this is the Arizona GOP's continuing efforts to suppress the vote. They do not want us to vote. They do not want us to register to vote. And it's become increasingly clear with their legislation that they are putting out. I've been gone from the legislature for, you know, a few years, and I'm back now. But Representative Selman, is this more than it has been in recent years? It seems to me it's a lot worse.
Thank you for that question. I would say that this is the typical reaction you see from conservatives when Democrats have a historical high turnout, especially in an election cycle, the midterm years that they typically rely on to try and balance the power. So what we know is that the total voter turnout in Arizona this past election cycle nearly mirrored the turnout that you saw during the presidential year in 2016. I think it just fell short by 100,000 or 200,000 votes. And, you know, the typical response is, again, not adjusting their party's platform to be more reflective of the changing and evolving value system guiding the majority of our electorate. It's to just try to stop people from being able to vote. People who are eligible to vote, people who are United States citizens, who should have a right to vote. But the Republican Party is very keen and very aware that their maintenance of their power is not by empowering voters, it's by trying to restrict them and suppress them.
That's right. And I am wanting to invite people who are listening to call in and join our conversation this morning. So if you'd like to join this conversation on KVOI.com, call us at 520-790-2040 and you can get in on this conversation. So, Senator Quesada, what do you think? Because I'm looking at a list of like 7 or 8 really awful voter suppression bills, and I know it's not a complete list. And to me, this is outrageous. What, in your opinion, are the most egregious ones you've seen this session?
You know, I think probably the most egregious one that I've seen is one that inspired a referendum effort just a few years earlier, and that was to clean people off of the permanent early voter list. Basically scrub people off of the list and remove you as a permanent early voter. That would be devastating for voters who aren't consistent voters, meaning for whatever reason they aren't able to vote in consistent elections, or they choose not to vote because they don't feel they're having good options. Those voters are going to be removed, and oftentimes without even notice, from the permanent early voter list. So the result of that is going to be total confusion come election time, when voters are looking for their ballot in the mailbox. Let's say they do want to vote this cycle. They're looking for that ballot. It's not coming. And they're left with a situation where they're confused with very little time to remedy that before Election Day. And so I think it's really a bad way to treat our registered voters in the state of Arizona. That's probably the most egregious one.
And Representative Salmon, what, in your opinion, is one of the worst of these voter suppression bills? Do you have one that you're particularly angry about?
So the one that Senator Quesada highlighted, I think, is the most egregious one right now that is moving, because it would effectively kick off 200,000 voters throughout the state of Arizona who are on the early vote list currently. And right now, you know, the interesting thing when Senator Eugentio Rita, the prime sponsor of the bill, testifies in committee, because she testified in the elections committee where I'm the ranking member, is she misrepresents what's actually in the bill. And so when we talked about retroactivity, when we talked about whether or not this would apply to voters who didn't use early voting in 2016 and 2018, she tried to argue no, but the language of the actual bill didn't reflect as much. And the other frustrating thing about SB 1188 is that when you look at another senator, Senator Kate McGee from Legislative District 28, who was the deciding vote on passing this massive voter suppression effort.
Oh my
by
God,
the Republican
you're kidding.
Party. Yes, and that would kick off 7,000. Oh, she was a deciding vote because another Republican voted no. And so that would kick off 7,000 voters in her district alone. And that senator won her seat by less than 300 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on here?
Yeah, they want to make sure that they get reelected, and they do not want you to vote. they just don't want you to vote. They don't want you to have, there's more than just anti-voting things. There's anti-initiative and anti-referendum stuff going on too. What can you guys say? What do you know about those efforts to keep you from, because Arizona's got this great ability to have the voters make legislation through the initiative process. And that is huge. And so what we're seeing is the Republicans in the legislature are bending over backwards to try to make it harder for you to make an initiative happen. What I know we've got HCR 2005 and SCR 10,023. This would require signatures from 10% of qualified electors in each legislative district to, this is a leech, Senator Leech, Vince Leech from Oro Valley, just in this area. This is his bill to just make it harder and to put restrictions on people that could actually, if they violate even by accident, they could be in hot water. This is really bad. What are you seeing, Senator Quesada?
Yeah, and so to put this into context, just like you said, our Arizona's initiative, referendum, and recall processes are some of the most progressive in the nation, and it's one of the elements of our Constitution that was hugely important and when our founders of the state put this into our Constitution, because we wanted to give the people of Arizona a way to hold their legislators accountable and to keep them in check. So if we are passing bills that they don't like, the people can refer that back to the ballot and veto it. If the legislature is not enacting laws that the people of Arizona think we should be enacting, they have the power to propose that as an initiative measure and do it themselves. Obviously, the legislature and the people in control now who are doing both, they're not passing laws that the people want, and they are passing bills that the people don't want. They don't like this initiative referendum process at all. So they have been trying for many years now to weaken it, to put up barriers in front of it, and to make it ultimately more expensive, more bureaucratic, more red tape, make it more difficult for the people to actually exercise their right to hold us accountable. That's exactly what HCR 2005 and SCR 1023 would do. It sounds like a reasonable fix when you just kind of put it on paper, but when you look at the realities of what it would actually entail, it would literally make the people's ability to propose an initiative measure almost impossible because of the signature requirements and the geography of the state and where those people would have to collect signatures from. It would make that undertaking so expensive that it would be next to impossible. So they're basically eliminating our initiative process without eliminating it.
All right. And when we come back, we're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, what I'd also like to talk about is they really do not want you to vote. They want to make it harder and sometimes impossible for you to vote. This is not an exaggeration. We're going to talk about, when we come back, we're going to talk about HB 2616, Registration of Voters. This is something that it is just chilling in its possibilities. It's something being put forth by Representative Townsend, and we're going to talk about that when we come back, and we will come back with more on KVOI, The Voice. And we are back with the Steele Report, and today my guests are State Representative Athena Selman and State Senator Martin Quesada. Welcome, guys. Now, right before the break, Athena, you were about to say something and I cut you off. I'd like to give you an opportunity to finish your thought there if you'd like.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Senator Steele. The other component I was going to mention is the Senate version is sponsored by Senator Leach, but the House version of the bill you were discussing is sponsored by John Kavanaugh from Scottsdale. And when you look at the numbers of Senator Leach's proposal, the areas of the state that are going to be hit the hardest and have the least amount of influence going forward to get an initiative on the ballot do not benefit areas like Senator Leach's district. They're going to overwhelmingly benefit affluent districts in our state, the more urban areas of our state. And so I just want to point out how, you know, it's questionable when Senator Leach comes from such a rural area that he's pushing forth proposals that he knows will give Maricopa County specifically more leverage and more say over initiatives, over citizen initiatives versus the rural areas.
Well, that's probably because he mostly represents Oro Valley and Saddlebrook. Which, if you don't know that area, that is one of the wealthier, let's just say, whiter areas of our community. I mean, that's just the reality. And very strongly Republican, and they don't want that to change. But got news for him, and actually I think it's good news. It's changing. It's changing. Even in Oro Valley, the demographics are changing. And so they are trying to put these in so they can get ahead of that demographic shift that's not going to look very favorably upon Republicans if they continue in the way that they have been going. All right, so let's go on now to HB 2616, Registration of Voters. Senator Quesada, can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, this is a bill that would basically prohibit anyone from paying or getting paid for collecting voter registration forms, for registering people to vote. Right now, we've got a lot of advocacy groups that hire young people to go out and engage their communities and register people to vote. This would now make that illegal. So again, it's putting a barrier in front of our ability to register voters. It's really a kind of a disgusting effort to take away the influence of advocacy organizations and people who are in the business of registering voters and giving people an opportunity to express their voice at the ballot box.
I had a room full of visitors the other day. They were with a student association, and they were college students, young men, and they were saying, what is going on here with the legislature? Because you guys are you want to have this sub minimum wage that says if you're under age 22, that, and you know, you're a student, that you can be paid $4 less an hour now than you're getting paid. So you'll have to take a $4 an hour pay cut if you're a student. And you're working 20 hours a week. And they said, now, one of the things that they were saying that they did was, you know, on the breaks, they would go out and register voters as a way, you know, for payment, as a way of subsidizing their income. And this change, this HB 2616, if you violate this in any way, and apparently it would be pretty easy to violate it, knowingly altering someone's form or not getting it in on time, that you could be facing a class 6 felony. And I just, that's really scary. And that's going to scare a lot of people away from helping to get registration of voters done. There's another bill. And whichever one of you is more familiar with this bill, you can speak on to it. I'm not sure who. SB 1451. As I understand it, this bill would require more rules for people circulating petitions. So that would be not voter petitions, but the initiative petitions and referendum petitions. What do you know about that? Some of those rules, what are those about? Athena, is this something that you're up on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and just to close out HB 2616, it's almost laughable how obvious that bill is a direct attack on Red for Ed and the voter registration that teachers did, March for Our Lives, and the historical numbers that the young people did. So I just want to draw that connection. The prime sponsor of that bill has been one of the most vocal opponents to teachers during the Red for Ed moment, trying to pass legislation to retaliate against them. So I don't want, you know, your listeners to miss that point.
That's right.
There is a direct connection. With SB 1451, that went through my committee the other day, and the Chamber of Commerce, who also have been very vocal against Red for Ed and the teachers, testified in support of the bill. And as I was asking questions, it became apparent that this bill would allow the chamber's attorneys to throw out any stack of signatures by a petitioner if it is, quote unquote, improperly grouped, as in the bill language. So to make that clear, if you have Joe and Maria, and when you turn it in, Joe's petitions are all supposed to be together and Maria's petitions are all supposed to be together. If one of Maria's petitions are misplaced and put into Joe's stack, not only can the chamber's lawyers argue that her 15 signatures, her petition gets thrown out, but they can say that Joe's entire stack of petitions, that could be hundreds if not thousands of signatures, get thrown out. And they can go back and say, because one of Maria's petitions was out of place, they can go and throw out Maria's entire stack of hundreds if not thousands of signatures. So one simple mistake can undermine an entire campaign and initiative.
And the will of the voters.
Exactly.
And whose bill is that? That SB 1451, do you know? I'm not sure whose that is.
Senator Leach.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Senator Leach. Yeah, he's really making a name for himself here. He does not want you to vote. He really does not want you to vote. Here's another thing that they're doing, and it regards the Clean Elections Commission rules. Senator Quesada, what do you know about this? They have just been really trying to go after the Clean Elections rules. I have run. I ran this last time as a Clean Elections candidate. And, you know, I got to tell you, it was a pleasure to not have to worry about what a potential funder or sponsor or donor might have to say about how I vote. That I don't have to take a funder or a donor's considerations or thoughts or desires under consideration. I don't have to worry about what APS thinks. I don't have to worry about what TEP thinks. When I make a vote, it's a vote based on the merits of that bill and based on my values and the desires of my constituents. And I really appreciate the Clean Elections Commission for allowing me to work and get elected without having to take those other things into consideration, because they shouldn't be a part of it. So I'm really happy to say that. But Senator Quesada, what are they saying? What are they trying to do to clean elections now?
Well, yeah, and Senator Steele, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the beauty of clean elections, is it really weakens the influence of special interests over politicians. And I think you, Representative Salmon, and several other legislators that are clean candidates are prime examples of that, because they're able to vote for what's best for the people, not what's best for special interests. So obviously, since special interests run the place at the Capitol,
that's right,
they don't like clean elections. So they're trying to weaken it as much as possible. So what this bill, House Bill 2724, would do is it would allow any person to petition what's called the Governor's Reform Commission. It's GRRCC, GRC. And what that basically is it's a partisan political organization made up entirely of appointees by the governor that review rules of all the state agencies. So this would allow any person to petition GRC about any clean elections rules and basically allow this partisan body to now have a veto authority over any rules that the Clean Elections Institute or commission adopts. So what it's basically doing is it's turning a nonpartisan, non-special interest entity into a partisan special interest entity, because it has partisan special interest oversight. So it's really a disgusting attempt to weaken clean elections even more.
Wow. I just, let's go back to Athena, what you said at the very beginning as to why you think this is all happening. I mean, we haven't even covered all of these voter suppression bills And you know, everything from signing petitions, getting an initiative and a referendum signed and on to the ballot, and the registration of voters and permanent early voting lists, throwing people off. We haven't even mentioned all of them. There's more. And the governor's already signed into law one that requires photo ID for people to be able to vote in early voting centers. This is... yeah, this is just really nasty. Let's go back to why you think this is happening, Athena.
Yes, and Senator Quezada pretty much alluded to it, because the board that the Republicans in the legislature are trying to put clean elections under, there are 6 members total, and 4 of them are current or former lobbyists. And so I think big picture, not only is this a reaction by Republicans, by conservatives, who are angry that they are losing these seats that their wealthy donors for a long time have been able to control and keep a tight lid on, but now we're seeing just blatantly unconstitutional attempts to restrict voter participation in the democracy that belongs to all of us. Not just the wealthiest people who donate to their campaigns. And, you know, this is this bill to attack clean elections and its true nature of being independent of a partisan politics is no surprise when you put that next to the voter suppression, the attacks on the initiative, the blatant disregard of the Voter Protection Act and the Arizona Constitution. You know, if they could have it their way, they would throw rules out the window and just hand this whole government over to the people who fund their campaigns.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That's just so, so scary that this is happening. I mean, and you know, and I got to tell you, we started this show out about a Republican representative who just resigned like 3 or 4 days ago. And then yesterday, we get the results of a police report that shows that he had apparently raped a couple of little boys. And one of them was a child who had developmental disabilities. And wow, we have a problem. And I'm going to tell you that problem is the GOP in the state legislature. And I think that if the GOP party wants to save itself, they really got to get their act together. And they got to start telling people, make it easier for people to vote. Follow the rules. Make it easier. Have integrity. My God, have some morals. This is just crazy. Well, okay, I could go on, and I will probably next week. Actually, next week we're going to be talking about the new Green Deal, so that should be kind of fun. I want to thank Senator Martin Quezada from the Glendale area and Representative Athena Salmon from the Tempe Mesa area. Thank you to both of you for joining us today on this show and having so many amazing things to say. I really, truly appreciate you both. And thank you for listening today. You've been listening to The Victoria Steele Show on KVOI, The Voice.